Let's go to Proverbs.
Just for change. Hey, we might. I told you we might camp on wisdom for a year, 2 years. I don't know. There's no exhausting. There's no exhausting the wisdom of God. And to be honest, we're still just in the early chapters. I mean, this is number seven now, I think, in this series. I had five of them I did here, and I did two up north before we transferred the series down here. But I'm still stuck on the same verses, you know, this at the moment. And I said something last week, if you remember, that wisdom, you know, we've got to start our understanding of wisdom where the Bible starts it. And our understanding of wisdom does not start with, Lord, give me wisdom for my finances. Lord, give me wisdom for my relationships. Lord, give me wisdom for healing my body. Our understanding of wisdom must start where Scripture starts, which is in things in how we relate to God. That's why we've talked about paying attention, listening, walking the path that He's got for you. And I'm going to build more on that today, although in a different direction that I wasn't quite expecting to go right now. But let's go to Proverbs 1, like number seven in the series, and we're still in Proverbs 1. But that's okay. And if you can nail it in these areas, you can start to get hold of wisdom in those other areas. Amen? When we begin to realize that wisdom must start with things that pertain to God. Now, Proverbs chapter 1, actually, we'll start in verse 5. Proverbs 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. We've talked about that, haven't we? And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm going to read that sentence again, the first part of verse 7. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. Now, this verse says beginning of knowledge, but go to Psalm 111, Psalm 111, and verse 10 says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So one says the beginning of knowledge, the other says the beginning of wisdom. What's the beginning? The fear of the Lord. Now, I was curious. I wanted to look up what this word beginning means here, because I'm going to do some talking about the fear of the Lord. Is that all right? Well, it's going to happen. And actually, I believe this is quite important, because notice what it says: the fear of the Lord is the beginning. In fact, in those two verses I've just read, now I'm going to give you another verse which has a different Hebrew word, but in those two verses that I've just said, where it says the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, the word beginning there has to do with the principal thing. It's got to do with first in place, or first in order, or first in position. Okay, I will give you another meaning, another Hebrew word in just a moment, but this is important. Don't rush this. Get a hold of what this is saying here. Now, do you know that there's a scripture I've quoted in this series which says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the primary, the principal thing that we need. I think it's Proverbs 4, Proverbs 8, something like that. And it says, get wisdom. It's what you need. But here it says the fear of the Lord is the principal thing in wisdom. So wisdom is the principal thing, but when it comes to wisdom, what is the principal thing in wisdom? The fear of the Lord. It's got to be first in position. Interesting. What's this telling us? What's this telling us? You are never going to access into the wisdom of God until the fear of God takes its correct place in your life. You won't access the wisdom of God. As long as the fear of God, we're going to talk about what the fear of God is. As long as the fear of God doesn't hold the place in your life that it should, you will not access the wisdom of God. The first position, the first place that in wisdom has got to be the fear of God. You won't get wisdom in your fight. You won't get the wisdom of God. You might get natural wisdom, but you're not going to step into the fullness of wisdom until the fear of God takes the place that it should. Now, this truth is repeated multiple times in Scripture. It's not just an isolated Scripture. So it's the fear of God's got to be. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding, so I'm going to define fear of God as we go on. So don't tune out, okay? This is so important. If God says it's the number one thing, then if it's important to him, it should be to us, shouldn't it? But he says, the one verse I read, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise. Despise has got to do with not give it the place it's due, the lower the value, not treat it the way it should. That's the opposite of the fear of the Lord when you begin to understand some things. Okay, so don't despise this truth. Realize the power and priority of this truth. Now, you said in the worship, you were talking about one of the things going deeper, and you said, teach us how to go deeper, and I said, I'm going to.
Yeah.
This right here,
yeah.
The fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Fear of the Lord is lacking in many environments, and it's not being given the place. Many Christians have not got a hold of what it really is. Now, our minds, you know, we know I'm delivered from fear. God set me free from fear. Fear of things, fear of people, fear of the dark, fear of spiders, fear of everything going wrong, fear of death. That's not the fear we want. But there is what the Bible refers to in Hebrews 11 refers to godly fear. Godly fear. And actually, this has a lot to do with going in deeper. When you really begin to touch on some things. You know what? God is big on some things that we're not that big on. You know one thing God is big on is things like honor and reverence. He's big on these things. And he's big on the truths that are connected to the fear of the Lord. Not because he wants people afraid of him. He loves us. He's our dad. But he knows this is vital. So when it comes to wisdom, what's the primary thing? What's the number one thing? What's got to take the first position in your life if you want wisdom?
Fear
of the Lord. Fear of God. Now, let's look at another one where it says the same thing in the English, but it's a different word in the Hebrew. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. I trust today you're going to have a better grasp of what the fear of the Lord is. There's a lot of speculations. I've heard Christians who've known God for years and they've studied and they still say, well, what is the fear of God? It can't really seem to quite pinpoint it half the time. But actually, the Bible pinpoints it quite clearly. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the English, it's the same, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That word beginning there is a different Hebrew word, has a different meaning. In this place, it means the commencing or the opening of. It means the starting point. It means wisdom begins and commences and opens up at the point of the fear of the Lord. And that's what we would probably think more when we think of the word begin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. But it's the opening point. It's the commencing place. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, starts at the fear of the Lord. So if you never get to the fear of the Lord, will you ever get to the start of wisdom in your life? And what if you have the fear of the Lord, but then you back off the fear of the Lord, you're going to back out of wisdom? Is this important? This is very important. So we've got two truths that we've seen in these verses. The first is that the fear of the Lord must take the first position, the primary position for us to access wisdom. But then it tells us, the second truth is that the fear of the Lord then becomes the commencement or the starting point of wisdom. Do you see the slight differences between those two truths? Put them together and you've got the full truth of what's going on here. When we give the fear of God the correct position, it'll start us into and open up and access us into the wisdom of God. That's powerful. So if you want the wisdom of God, you must start with the fear of the Lord. And if you back off the fear of the Lord, if we stop giving the fear of God priority in our lives, my question then becomes, is that the ending point? Is that where we stop wisdom and enter foolishness? If we stop giving the fear of God the place in our lives. Okay, just a few thoughts. Now let's look at, now actually here's another thought. Could this apply in individual areas? Once you understand what the fear of the Lord is, this statement will make sense. Can we have the fear of God in one area of our lives? And I actually believe we can once you understand what the fear of the Lord is. Let's say you can have the fear of God in relationship to trusting Him for healing, but not have the fear of God in how you handle your finances. So actually, can this apply in different areas? Can you tap into the fear of God more in some areas of your life and therefore access more of His wisdom, and in other areas not be as open to it and not access His wisdom? I actually think you can, the more I look at this. All right? I won't read them all. Just take this one down. Job 28:28 says this, and to man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil, that is understanding." So you see this truth repeated multiple times: the fear of the Lord and wisdom. Okay, so what is it now? When you look at the whole truth of the fear of God, when you look at all the different scriptures, one of the first things that the fear of God to me is awareness of God and awareness of His things in your life. Okay, I'm going to give a definition with scriptures, but I'm just throwing out a few things. Awareness. Awareness in every decision you make, in each area of your life, you're aware of what God is saying in that area, and you are responsive to what He is saying in that area. Goes back to listening. Okay? And if you're not, you're going to end up being a fool in that area. And other truths, like I said, that connect into the fear of God are honor and reverence. Choosing the ways of God in all things. This is where I said, you can choose the ways of God in trusting God for your healing, but choose to not walk in the ways of God in connection to finances or another area. This is why I said it can, because actually yielding to, choosing, and reverencing and aware of the ways of God in the different areas of your life and letting those govern you is connected directly into the fear of the Lord. Okay? Now let's look at a couple of scriptures. This one is a more well-known one, and then I'm going to zero in on one particular area that I believe is highlighted in scripture more than anything else and connected to the fear of the Lord. But let me give you something else first. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. I just think when you really begin to understand the fear of the Lord, especially when I get to the main point I'm heading to, you'll see what I'm saying. I'm more and more convinced that the fear of the Lord is lacking. Is lacking in a lot of environments. Christian environments. I'm not talking about non-Christian environments. Now, Proverbs 8:13 defines the fear of the Lord in what? It's not the right way to say it, but it defines maybe in a negative sense, or the negative aspect of I don't like saying it, like it's not the right way to say it, but it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You see, so it's talking about it's not the right way to say it, negative. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So the fear of the Lord here. Here we're given some kind of definition. The fear of the Lord is, but let me just say this as well. This is not all there is to the definition. Don't just take this as your full definition of the fear of the Lord. Let's look at what else the scriptures have to say, because there's a lot more. Do you realize that there are people who don't even know God who hate evil? Yeah. Does that mean they have the fear of God in their lives? No. So that's not all there is to it. Hating pride doesn't mean you have the fear of God. That's part of it, but you've got to have the full picture to really have the fear of God functioning in your life. Like I said, they're non-Christians who hate evil ways and hate pride and hate wrong talking doesn't mean they have the remotest bit of the fear of God in their lives. So yes, although this is part of it and it is true, it's not the complete picture. Okay, so let's go somewhere else. Let's look at this. Let's begin to look at another aspect of this. Psalm 111 verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. This is one we read. We read this earlier, but I'm going to read it again because you'll see this truth in this verse. We didn't highlight it the first time around. Psalm 110, verse 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the next part, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Now, you're seeing something else connected into the fear of the Lord here, and you're going to see this more and more. It's connected in many, many verses. It doesn't look as connected here. It looks like two separate statements. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding who have all those who do his commandments. But just keep that phrase in mind, who do his commandments, as we begin to look at some other scriptures that go through these. That's Psalm 111. Look at Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in what? In his commands. Do you see it? The two things mentioned right next to each other again. How somebody handles what God is saying. Well, his commandments, his instructions. This brings us back to where we started on in listening. How a person handles what God is saying and their attitude toward what God is saying, and whether they take a board into their lives and allow what God is saying to govern their lives, transform their lives, and govern their decisions, is actually very, very directly connected to whether they have any fear of God in their lives. How they view the Word of God and what God is saying, not just the written Word, but even the things the Spirit of God is leading them in. And we've talked about how you can brush aside, you can ignore, you can push aside what God is saying and give your own things priority and your own desires priority. There's no fear of God in that person who does that. And in fact, let's see this clearly. And just before I read this, now, is there great promise in Scripture to a person who yields to the fear of the Lord? Read it in this. Before I talk more about this point, just see it. It's in this verse, Psalm 112, verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. What does it then go on to say about this person? His descendants, not just you, your kids, those that come after you, will be mighty on earth. It's one thing to want kids, but do you want your kids mighty on the earth and blessed? Does the way you live right now affect that? According to this, yes. Can your decision to honor God affect the generation after you? Now, if you love your kids, you want them to have a good generation. You don't want to set them up wrong. So putting the fear of God priority in your life is love for your own children. That's not even in my notes. I didn't even think that. I don't know where that came from. That literally was spur of the moment, that statement. That was a word from God. You don't love your kids, whether you've got kids yet or not, you don't love them as much as you think you do if you are not giving the fear of God place in your life like it should have.
Preach it.
The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. His righteousness and justice. I'm not going to read all the promises. But is this benefit to allowing the fear of God to take precedence in your life? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So is this worth getting a hold of and understanding what it is to really walk in the fear of God in my life? Now, let's keep looking at this thing. As I said, the greatest connection you will see in Scripture to the fear of God is it's repetitively made, and I'm going to show you how repetitive. It's how you handle and deal with the Word of God. Whether it's His written Word or whether it's what God's speaking to you, whether you're willing to listen. If you will not yield to, if you will not listen, if you will not allow the Word of God to dominate and govern your life, if you are not aware of what God is saying, if you are despising, ignoring, and pushing aside what God is saying, there is no fear of God in your life. No matter how much you hate evil and hate pride and hate all the wrong things, that is not enough. You have to be willing to let the Word of God take the priority and the place in your life that He says it must have. Do you see how many things come back to the word? Doesn't matter. I'm going to say it. Doesn't matter how much a church hates, and I'm talking church, a group of Christians, denomination, hates the negative things they see going on in the world. If they will not give the word of God the place it should have, they do not fear God. And that is on me strong, what I just said. There are a lot of groups that are hating the negative stuff, but they will not let the word of God in. Is it all right if I preach a bit today? I was going to do this so nice. Is it all right? All right, okay. I'm not scaring you with my shouting. I didn't mean to say like that. That was just really strong on me. I know you're not angry. That's what I'm saying. But there is no fear of God in an individual Christian's life or a denomination or a church just because they hate the negative things they see going on in the world. Or even in their own denomination, if they will not let the word take place, there is no fear of God in that group. It's not in my notes. I didn't even think that before the meeting. Okay? Fear of God is lacking.
Yeah.
It is lacking in this country. And a big scale. And it's one of the reasons the word is struggling in so many environments to get in. Because how people respond to the word is directly connected to the fear of God in their life.
Worldwide.
I mean, we'll talk about this nation for a start. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 2. Notice the connection. Every time. Do you mind if we just read a bunch of scriptures? And don't tune out just because you think I've heard of what I've got to say. Hear the word on this. Let this build faith on the inside of you. Let this grab a hold of you if you want to be serious about allowing the fear of God in your life. Because you know what? If we let the fear of God take the place it should take, it will access us in and take us into the wisdom of God in our lives, releasing an incredible, powerful move of God in our own lives and even through us.
Yeah.
You want to go deeper?
Yeah.
Let's go deeper. That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you said? You're in Proverbs chapter 2?
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. We've read some of these before. My son, if. Do you see that? If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, there's listening, and apply your heart to understanding. We've talked a bit about this. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, is that hunger? But what are you hungering for? You're starting off with his word. And you hunger. You can hunger for the supernatural, but lack hunger for the word, and you won't tap into this. What's the first sentence? If you receive my words. What if you do not receive your words, but you do everything else that he lists off there? Starts off with, if you receive my words. Now, verse 4, if you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasure. What is the first thing he says will then happen? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Does he say the first thing that'll happen when you get all of those things right and you seek God for wisdom, you're crying out for discernment? How, Lord, I need to understand. Does he say he'll just give you wisdom? Now, if you read it in James, that's how it comes across. But you've got to understand how the whole word of God puts together. What does he say come first when you cry out for understanding? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. Wisdom then comes then. But it doesn't come until the fear of God first comes. Do you see that? Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning point, it's the commencement. It's got to take the primary place. Proverbs chapter 1. But this is we talked about this last week. People who wouldn't receive correction, wouldn't receive his rebuke. And we've talked about people who won't listen. I'm not going to read the whole passage. This is in last week's teaching, but Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares." Do you remember we read this one last week? Yeah. It's on the recordings that are available online as well if people missed that. And it talks about verse 23, "Turn at my rebuke." Remember we talked about return, come back. That word turn doesn't just mean make a change. Return to the place where you go off track. Return at my rebuke. There's correction there. He talks about, but verse 25, "Because you disdained my counsel." His counsel would be his word or what he's saying, whether it's his written word or what his spirit is saying to you. "You disdained it. You didn't receive what? His word, his correction, his rebuke. You would not listen to what he was saying." This is what we've been talking about for weeks now, isn't it? Jump down. We won't read it all. Verse 29. "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Is that all said in direct connection to how they're responding to his word? This whole passage is describing them pushing away what he's saying. And he says, that is a lack of the fear of God. Verse 30, "They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke." But before even saying this, he says, no fear of God in that. When the fear of God is active in a person's life, they will treat everything God says with the utmost highest respect and give it the utmost highest priority in their lives. They will govern areas of their life by the word simply because God says that's how to do it. And they have enough trust in him and a trust for his love for them to know that he will lead them on the right path and the best path. We covered that in previous weeks. So according to this, what shows this group of people did not choose the fear of God? Does it say anything in there? They went on and on about all the evil going on in the world. No, it's got nothing to do with it, this passage. This passage has all got to do with how they are handling what God is speaking to them. You step out of the fear of God by despising what he's saying. You wisdom stops in your life.
So much foolishness there, isn't
it? I didn't expect to come and preach today's message with an authority like this, but there's an authority on me. Is that all right? I know you guys can take this. But this is a big part of why God cannot move in many environments. People blame the preacher. Well, he's not praying enough. We don't have this happening in our church. That group of people has no fear of God. They won't allow the word of God to take precedence over their lives a lot of times. Do you know that it's not just all up to the preacher whether God moves in an environment? Go look at the ministry of Jesus. Mark, in his own hometown, there's a classic example. We all know it. It applies as much today. Yeah? Jesus, the anointed Christ, walks into an environment, no move of God happens, and it wasn't because of him. Yeah. The crowd has as much to do with whether God moves in an environment, whether a church grows, whether a church moves forward, or whether you've got to walk out of town and wipe the dust off your feet, because they did not receive the vessel God sent. I didn't quite intend to say that one either today. God sent the vessel in. And they didn't receive the vessel. They didn't honor the vessel as a vessel from God. And I'm going to leave that right there. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Yeah. Hebrews 11. Now let's look at a man who did have the fear of God in his life. A man called Noah. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, let's pause there. If faith is present, what do you know is present?
God's present.
God's present, but how does faith come? By hearing the word. Well, we know Noah heard from God. Yeah?
Yeah.
So he heard what God was saying. By faith, Noah, and here it is, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. God showed him what was coming. Can God show you what's coming? Can he still show us today what's coming? Can he still show an individual Christian today what's coming? Can God reveal things? We have a spirit on the inside of us. He can reveal things to you. But God takes this man, Noah, and he shows him some things to come. Now notice Noah's response to what God said is directly referred to as godly fear. Do you see the connection between how he handled what God was saying? Let's read it. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, there God speaking to him, he has a response of faith. Then it says, moved with godly fear. Does it say anything about he hated the evil around him? Not in this verse, it doesn't. This verse is showing the fear of God is directly connected to how he handled what God was saying to him. When you prioritize what God is speaking and you hold it in front of you, aware of what he is saying, to the place that you will give it priority and yield to it in your life, that is the fear of God. And to the point that you will act on it and take aboard what he says. It says, right, do. Is that what Noah did? It's exactly what it says. God spoke to him, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. What happened? Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark. He began to move his life in the direction of preparation for what God was saying. And it was godly fear, his response to what God said, that caused this. Okay? What God said took priority to Noah in his actions. Now, do you know how much the enemy tries to talk Christians out of doing the word? Oh, God will still love you. You don't really need to do this. You don't need to do this. God will still love you. Yeah, of course he'll still love you. Okay? I'm not saying you won't. He loved his enemies. Okay? But is this important to God? People who will take aboard what he says and begin to apply it into their lives. It is important. I mean, he won't love you anymore, but there are other consequences that can happen as well. Okay? Your fear of God, your true level of godly fear is directly connected and is shown by how you respond to what God is saying to you. How you handle it, whether you keep it in front of you and make it priority and live by it. Whether it's just written word or whether it's things the Spirit of God speaking directly to you. Either way, they both, if it's coming from God, it's the Word of God, even if he's speaking to it, as long as it is from him, because you can get muddled. Sometimes people don't know how to tell what's from God. We talked about that as well. They get muddled, they get confused, they can't distinguish what is God saying and what's my desires saying. And sometimes people follow after what they, well, yeah, God said this, and it wasn't God, it was their desires. Okay, you've got to really learn to get a hold of what God is speaking on the inside. We've been talking about this in the prayer times. We've been talking about clearing out the clutter and becoming crystal clear on the inside so you can hear God and know what he's speaking to you. God needs a generation of people who know how to respond to and hear what his Spirit is speaking. Whew. I'm going to take a breather there for a minute. No, not a breather as in a coffee break. I'm just taking a breather from the... Because that is just... I think there's an anointing on this message. There's a real strong... An anointing of authority on this message that I'm speaking right now. And if you haven't let the fear of God take priority in your life, Don't take a moment longer before you do it. Yield to it now. Don't say, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Don't say, I'm going to do it in the morning. Don't say, I'm just going to not fear God for a little bit longer, and then I'll do it right now. Say, I'm going to give the word that God is speaking to me priority, even if it goes against everything and things I'm struggling with, and I don't want to yield to it, and I'm fighting it, and whatever your excuse is, drop the excuse and give place to the word of the Lord. And you will find God will move in that situation. You can fight it. You can fight it. You can fight it. You can fight the word of the Lord to you so much. And what you'll find is you'll just get yourself more and more into struggles. It'll become harder. Conflict. But when you bring yourself to a place where you just say, okay, God, I'm going to yield and I'm going to let that go. Go with what you're saying. You will be amazed at what God can begin to do to heal you, to move in your life, to touch your situation. When you just yield to what he's saying, even when yielding to what he's saying looks like the worst thing you can imagine. I'm not going to give a testimony. I was going to give some testimony there, but I'm not going to. Let's go to Malachi 2. Malachi 2. Few more scriptures, but just see this in the word. See how much this is repeated. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Malachi 2 verse 1. And now, O priests, this commandment, this what? So you're talking about a commandment is what God's saying, yeah? This commandment is for you. Verse 2. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, is there about to come a warning? He said, this commandment is to you, but he's saying, if you don't listen to it, and you don't take it to heart, and you to give glory to my name. Okay? Then he continues on. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but there's a warning there. He's saying, if you don't listen. But then he goes on, verse 5. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. What does the next verse say? Verse 6. There it is again. The law of truth was in his mouth. Right after mentioning the fear of God, what does he talk about? The law of truth was in his mouth. Verse 7, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. Now he's talking to the priests here, this whole chapter. And he goes on and he talks about how they have caused many to stumble at the law. Oh, they didn't fear God. There's no fear of God. He's giving them a warning here. Let's look at a couple of things quickly in Deuteronomy. I just want you, do you see that connection again between how they're handling what God's saying? His word, how they're responding to it, how serious they are about it, and the fear of God. Let's look at a couple of things in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17. Just capture this. Capture this truth. Let this sink in. I don't need to make lots more points right now. I want this truth to sink in even more. Deuteronomy 17. Now here he's talking about the king. Okay. When they want a king, and God put and then he gives them a king. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18 are some instructions God gives to the king. See, God knew they were going to ask for a king, didn't he? Yeah. So he put into the law instructions for when they do ask for a king. God knows things way ahead of time. This is generations before they actually asked for a king. God knew they would. And you don't think he doesn't know your tomorrow, your next week, and your next month. Believe me, he does. That's why when he warns you, listen, because he knows what's coming in a month's time and 2 months' time, and you don't listen. And you, this goes back to what we're saying. And then you, it all goes wrong because you didn't listen. And you cry out to God, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you let this happen in my life? Why didn't you warn me? You wouldn't fear God. You wouldn't give his word priority in what he was speaking to you. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. Also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book. Hand write his own copy of the law. Now that's not the whole Bible, because they didn't have all of it at then, but he was to take the law and hand write a whole copy. Why hand write a whole copy? Why doesn't he just say read it? Because your mind can wander when you read it. You've got to focus a lot more on what you're doing when you've got to sit there and read it. I was thinking this week when I looked at this verse, and I think it might do some Christians some good to handwrite their own copy of the Bible. That's not a thus saith the Lord, okay? Someone might think, oh, maybe I should do that. Because you know what? You really got to focus on it when you've got to write it. The king was to take it and write down the law. Why? It's to build it into him. Verse 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall, not only after he's written his own hand copy, it says, he shall read it all the days of his life. God wanted their leaders in the word. Now, why? Why? What's the first thing he mentions about this king who's in the word? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. See the connection between the word and the fear of the Lord. If you don't give the word priority, you don't listen to what God is saying, there's no fear of God in your life. No matter how much you go to church, sing songs, hallelujah, praise the Lord, Lord, I love you, I worship you, but no, Lord, I don't want to listen to what you're saying. There is no fear of God in that person's life. But I like going to church for the people. They're my friends. There is no fear of God in that person's life if they will not give the word the place it should have. And this is the problem God is having. Deuteronomy 6. We have got to see this change. Write it on my phone, write it on your phone if you want to. Sometimes you just preach something. I really didn't expect to preach it as strong this week. I really did. I thought, this is a great message. I got to go preach today. We'll have a nice teach. And we need some fear of God. We want to go deeper. Deuteronomy 6. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments. Which the commandments, statutes and judgments, talking about the same thing, isn't he? Which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach you that you may observe them. Observe means apply, give them place in your life. Don't just learn them, do them, live by them. In the land which you are crossing over to possess, verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and commandments. There it is again. Could this be any clearer? What's the fear of God? We got one verse which says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We got verse after verse after verse after verse after verse that connects the fear of God to how a person handles what God is saying to them. Is this important to God?
Yeah.
This is. I'll read you a couple more. Deuteronomy 10. Verse 12, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord. There it is again, and his statutes. 1 Samuel 12. Like I said, I'm just reading. You don't have to turn to all these. Write them down. 1 Samuel 12, verse 14. This will be the last one, I think. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, there it is, and do not rebel against the commandments of the Lord. There it is again. Fear God connected directly to how they're handling what he's saying, whether it's his voice or his written commandment. So if we want to be a people who walk in the fear of God, and you know, the fear of God, I believe, will access incredible moves of the anointing of God, presence of God. I believe, I really am convinced that there are certain things which will trigger the move of God on a greater level than other things.
I think the love of God brings you into
That's the next one I was going to just say right now, and I'm glad you said it, yes. That's why I said there are certain things, and I'm preaching on one of them right now, there are certain things that will trigger the move of the Spirit of God. One of them is the fear of God, which includes holding an utmost regard and reverence and awareness of his word and what he's speaking, paying attention to his word and giving it priority. And another one is the love of God, you're right. It's another one I've been meditating on this week. It's amazing what can happen in a person's life when they begin to yield to the love of God. It can do things inside of you that nothing else can do. Let me out now. You come to a place where you just say, Lord, I'm not gonna fight anymore. I'm just gonna yield to the love of God. And what you've been trying to get me to yield to. God spoke to me this week and he said, if I will yield to that, he said, it'll tap you into the miraculous, the flow of the Holy Spirit, yeah, and the move of God. And the penny dropped as to why he's been trying to tap me into it. And I saw what he was trying to do. I thought, yeah, let's do that. Yeah. Let your love consume me, Lord. Your love take over every part of me, drive me.
Because if you love someone, you want to please them, don't you? So love is the same as the fear of the Lord in us.
It is.
But to me, it makes fear of the Lord complete because the word is reverence.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's respect. Respect. Honor.
It's understanding what reverence actually means.
Yeah.
That's so important.
It is. I'm not going to say anything more. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Kora makarandishi se karandashi kisete shamaratasi. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Father God, we realize this is more important than we've given it place, Father God. To fear God. And as the second point was made, is not what I preached on, but to allow his love to drive and motivate us. The love of God. But Father God, we want to get hold of that first point today, Lord God, to raise up our fear of God in our lives, our absolute respect, awareness of, responsiveness to his word, and regard for what he is saying above all else. And we want to yield to that and let that word become the driving force of our lives in each area. And I thank you, Father God, that as we do that, it'll open up those areas of our lives for you to move in them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. See, if you truly fear God, these things you won't do. You won't just brush it off and say, oh, it's okay, I can do that. There's no fear of God there. You're shutting your life off from things that God wants to do. But just because you just want to do those things, you begin to say, no, I won't do that anymore. I'm not yielding to that anymore. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to give him place and I'm going to let him do what he needs to do. Because he will bring you into a remarkable place in him if you let him. And release such incredible blessing and goodness and love toward you and give you the desires of your heart. But as long as you're resistant to that and you refuse and you're pushing away from it because you want to do the things that you want to do, God can't move. He can't. So just yield to what he's saying. Yield to what he's saying. Say, okay, Lord, come to the place you stop fighting it and just say, okay, Lord, I'll do. Even if I've been repelling against it inside of me, pushing against it, okay, Lord, I'm gonna yield to that. You have no idea what it will open up in your life. Things you've been trying to get for years, but struggling to get, will start to move and flow. And even beyond that, into an exceeding greater measure, beyond what you could think or dream or imagine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
The presence of God is so wonderful.
It is, yes. It is.
Just thinking about Paul the Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
He became a bondservant because of the love of God.
Yeah.
And he could not have accomplished on that. He had the fear and the love of God. He had to have both.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to get.
Yeah. See, I couldn't understand what God was trying to do in me.
Well, you know that. You have to speak yourself into it, don't you?
I was resisting and I was fighting it. I'm going to stop this, hold on. Bless you, Jesus.